Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday School, June 20th, 2010.
Turn in your Bibles to the 26th chapter of Matthew. This, of course, has to do with the climax of all the gospel accounts. And some commentators have called this the Holy of Holies of the Word of God, where Jesus, as our high priest, offers himself as our sacrifice for sin. This is also the climax of Matthew's intention in what he was writing about Jesus, the King of Israel. And this is the writing that was inscribed on the cross above Jesus' head, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Again, in the first two chapters, we saw the advent of the king. In chapter 3, the presentation of the king by John the Baptist. In chapters 4 through 7, the constitution of his kingdom. In chapters 8 and 9, the nature of his kingdom. In chapters 10 to 12, the proclamation of the kingdom. And in chapter 13, the mysteries of the kingdom. And in chapter 14 through 18, the crisis in the kingdom and his confrontation with the leaders of Israel. And in chapters 19 to 23, the last journey of the king to Jerusalem. And in chapters 24 and 25, the future of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, which would not come then, because the king had been rejected, and there would be a long period of distress and suffering following his death for the Jewish people before the kingdom would actually come. And in this section, chapters 26 and 27, we read of the final rejection of Jesus as their king. There are some scriptures that lend themselves best simply to reading. One example was when Brother Crook was reading of the life of Joseph, and this is another one. So open your Bibles with me to the 26th chapter of Matthew, and we'll read along, making a few comments, but let the full impact of this break upon your mind as though you had never heard it before. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes, the elders of the people, unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. It might be common here that Caiaphas and Annas, his father-in-law, were not legitimate priests at this time. They were appointed to this office by the Romans, and they were not of the line of the Levites to be priests. And they consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But that when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. The poor, ye have always the poor with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment upon my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial for her." Jesus was anointed by a woman twice. And there would be some critics who would make these two different accounts of the same occasion. But in the first time that he was anointed, it was his feet that were anointed. When this woman washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair and anointed his feet, in some ways it's almost a replica, because each one of them poured costly ointment on him. This time it was poured on his head. And this was also just a day or two before the crucifixion, making Jesus' words even the more meaningful when he said, she has anointed me for my burial. Because when the other women, other Marys, came to the tomb to anoint his body for burial, they never did it. They got there too late. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, "What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And it might be noted that this 30 pieces of silver was a price for a common slave. But it is mentioned in the prophet Zechariah that this would happen. I did not look it up beforehand, but perhaps I can find it, where let's go on reading. Zechariah prophesied this of 30 pieces of silver. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, "What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said unto them, "Go into the city to such and such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." If you read in the Gospel of Mark, it would seem that Jesus, that his disciples, and perhaps even Jesus himself, did not know who this man was or where his house would be. But here we see that Jesus very well knew both the man and the house, showing that he had had an acquaintance both with John Mark and with his mother, and that this would be the same house where the disciples would meet when the Holy Spirit was given. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and they began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Right there he pointed out to the rest of the disciples who would be the traitor. This is probably the first time that Jesus had actually pointed out Judas to himself, that Jesus knew that what his plans were. Because as was the custom at that time, they reclined at low tables. And as they reclined, we read that John, the beloved, leaned back on Jesus' breast. So he was to the right of Jesus. So it had to be the person to his left who would dip with him in the dish, because there was the only one close enough to him to do that. And that was Judas himself. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. This dish was a part of the Passover supper. It contained, and still does to this day, a mixture of chopped apples and raisins and figs and perhaps some other fruit. And it was to symbolize to them, as the bitter herbs were, the bitterness of their slavery in Egypt. This dish was to symbolize to them the goodness of God to his people. And I would think that after this, Judas would have left them. But no, he went ahead, as Jesus said, and dipped in the dish with his unleavened bread to eat as a sign of fellowship with them together. And then Jesus said, The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, All of you, drink of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Matthew doesn't tell us, but the other Gospels do, that Judas never partook of this with the other disciples. He had already gone out at this time. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And we do know exactly the hymn that they sang, because they were singing the songs of the Passover. And it was the 118th psalm that they sang. And in that psalm are those famous, well-known messianic verses where they're quoted in the New Testament. In verse 6 of that psalm, "The Lord is on my side, and I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" I'm sure that these words were a comfort to the Lord as he faced that awful time. And also, "The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." That refers to the stone of the temple. Later, the prophets referred to Isaiah and Zechariah referred to that stone as being the chosen one of God, the Messiah. And then they, in that psalm, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." Which that phrase, "Save now, I beseech thee," in Hebrew is Hosanna. Hosanna, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And as they sang this psalm, they finished the Passover service. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered abroad." That too is a prophecy of Zechariah, who so clearly described the person and the work of Jesus. In Zechariah, in chapter 13 of Zechariah, in verse 7, we read, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man who is my fellow, the man who is my equal." The man who is the equal of God, clearly declaring that the Messiah would be wholly divine. "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." And this came to pass, just as Jesus said here, for all of the disciples did flee. "But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." He speaks of his death, which they couldn't comprehend. He speaks of his resurrection after his death, which should have made them rejoice. But again, they didn't comprehend. Events were rushing too fast, and their thinking was still in the vein of the Old Testament and how it had been proclaimed as they grew up. They had not yet comprehended what Jesus was doing. "But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." And Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." And Jesus said unto him, "I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee." Likewise said all the disciples. In John's Gospel, there is a famous or well-known passage that is often misunderstood. When Jesus was risen from the dead, and he went before them into Galilee, as he said that he would. You remember the story, how that they went fishing, and he prepared breakfast for them on the shore, and when they recognized him, Peter leaped into the water to come to him. And then Jesus said unto, when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He did not mean the fish. He did not mean the boats and the nets. He did not mean anything material. He was saying unto him, Simon, do you think you really love me more than these? Pointing to the other apostles gathered there. For he had said, though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. And he had said that though all men forsook him, meaning the other disciples, Jesus said unto him, though all shall be offended because of thee, I will never be offended. He was putting himself as being more faithful to the Lord than the other apostles. So afterwards Jesus said, Simon, do you think you love me more than your fellow apostles? It pays for us to have a correct opinion of our importance, not to think more highly of ourselves as we should, as Paul wrote in one of his epistles. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter saith unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Well, Peter, in the aftermath, did not die with the Lord, but in the end, he did die for the Lord. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Gethsemane was an olive grove on the Mount of Olives facing Jerusalem. Gethsemane means the olive press. There is a poem, I'm not sure I still have it. I looked for it and couldn't find it. But it begins, Gethsemane, the olive press. And why so named, let Christians guess. Just as olives were pressed of their oil there, Jesus' spirit, his heart, was being crushed and pressed for his people, both for Israel and for those who had faith in him and those who would have faith in him to come. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Then he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Here Jesus was not suffering as God. He was suffering as a man, as a human in the place of humans, as a man in our place. He had laid aside his divinity, so to speak, in a sense, and suffered with us, for us, as one of us. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? I read a book once, a devotional book, and it says, Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Perhaps more practically, we should say, Sweet 5 minutes of prayer, sweet 5 minutes of prayer. And that's probably the way the disciples were here. What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words, knowing that at this very time Judas was receiving the 30 pieces of silver from the priest to betray him. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed, that is, the act is already done, into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. The temple guard, Judas, the priests, the whole system of the priesthood is here called sinners. Jesus was betrayed into the hand of sinners. They had not faith, nor had they righteousness under the understanding and terminology of the Old Testament. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of it, the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master! And he kissed him. Now there is some conflict among some Christians as to whether or not Judas was a believer and fell from the faith, or apostatized, as they say, whether he was saved and lost his salvation. But notice, Judas never called Jesus Lord. He called him Master, that is, teacher, or Rabbi, but he never called him Lord. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. The other Gospels tell us that this was Peter. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? This is Jesus as the Divine One, speaking of his relationship to God, the Son of the Father. But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In the same hour, said Jesus unto the multitudes, Are ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves, for to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this, now Matthew makes this comment for the 11th time in his gospel. But all this was done, that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled, including Peter. And thus it was foreordained, for it must be that he suffer alone for us. It was not something that anyone else could be partaker with him in it. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. There was they almost waylaid Jesus. Now they have him before a kangaroo court. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat down with the servants to see the end. Gone was his boldness, but still was his love. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came and found they none. And the last came, two false witnesses, and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. They deliberately garbled a saying of Jesus. And the high priest arose and said unto them, Answerest thou nothing? What is it that these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. That was the final question of a prosecutor under Jewish law. And whenever a Jew was so faced with such an adjuration, he was bound to answer. And Jesus did. Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said, a periphrastic form of yes. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heavens. He claimed, as he always had, that he was the Son of Man. And adding this, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven, he claimed to be the one in the vision of Daniel the prophet, who said that he saw the Ancient of Days sitting upon a throne, and one like unto the Son of Man came unto the one who is sitting on the throne. In claiming that, the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He hath spoken blasphemy." And indeed, if he were merely a man, it was blasphemy. And they were right. But since he was the Son of Man, speaking the truth, he was right, they were wrong, he was the judge, and they were the one being judged. And they had every right to know that he was the Son of God, Son of Man, the one who was coming, because this he taught daily in the temple, but they had rejected it. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?" They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." This was the priesthood of Israel. This was the intelligentsia of Israel. This was the political leadership of Israel. Then did they spit on his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee?" Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou wast with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And when he was gone into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, saying, "I do not know the man." His oath being, "By the God of Israel, I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said unto Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee." The meaning of this is the Galileans spoke a corrupted kind of Aramaic from that which was spoken in Judea. Do you have any trouble recognizing when a person speaking is an Australian? Do you have any trouble answering, recognizing when a Scotsman is speaking? It was this kind of difference in the Aramaic which Peter spoke from what they spoke in Judea. That's why they recognized him as being a Galilean. Then began he to curse, that is, to call down oaths upon himself, and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. Peter wept bitterly in repentance. Judas threw down the 30 pieces of silver in remorse. There is an eternity of difference between the two.